Welcome to the Natural Marketer Podcast. I am your digital marketing specialist and host, Victoria Smith, the hashtag Natural Marketer, and owner of V Smith Media, a digital marketing company based out of Oakland, Tennessee. This is a guide to help small businesses create a valuable digital footprint affordably. I believe that innovation makes businesses stronger. I strive to provide solutions that help small businesses thrive, and my core foundation is built for growth, simplicity, and value for every business I partner with. Each episode is a new overview of elements that develop a valuable digital footprint for any small business owner. In this episode, I'm going to introduce you to customer retention, loyalty, and advocacy through relationship marketing to form a powerful trio in the world of branding. Understanding and effectively utilizing these concepts can be the difference between attracting fleeting customers and building a loyal community of brand awareness. Relationship marketing is a strategic approach that prioritizes building strong, long-term connections with your customers over simply making individual sales. It's about fostering loyalty, trust, and engagement. Customer retention is about keeping your existing customers coming back for more, measured by metrics like churn rate, customer loss, as we all know it, and repurpose rate. Brand loyalty is a customer's emotional attachment to a brand resulting in repeated purchases and positive word of mouth. And customer advocacy is when customers are actively and enthusiastically promoting your brand to others, often beyond simple recommendations. Each of these elements is important to relationship marketing because retaining existing customers is significantly cheaper than acquiring new ones. They also spend more of their time increasing customer lifetime value. Loyal customers are brand ambassadors, promoting your brand through recommendations and positive reviews. And advocates or ambassadors provide organic reach and trust, leading to increased brand awareness and acquisition. Relationship marketing is a powerful tool for building customer retention, loyalty, and advocacy. It shifts the focus from acquiring new customers to nurturing existing customers and relationships. Transforming the dynamic form simply transactional to emotional connected. Remember, effective relationship marketing takes time and effort, but the rewards of building a community of loyal customers are invaluable. Here are the benefits of your brand for relationship marketing. Increased customer retention. Loyal customers are more likely to stick with you, reducing churn and acquisition costs. Higher customer lifetime value is seen. Loyal customers spend more over time as you understand their needs and cater to them effectively. They give positive word of mouth marketing. Happy customers become your brand ambassadors, attracting new customers through trust and recommendation. It increases your brand image. Strong customer relationships build trust and positive associations, strengthening your brand reputation. Loyal customers provide honest feedback, helping you improve your products and services, which is valuable customer feedback. In a crowded market, strong customer relationships can differentiate your brand and build a loyal following. That's the competitive advantage. So now that you understand the importance of relationship marketing and understanding the values of each areas of customer relationship marketing with customer retention, customer loyalty, here's how relationship marketing works. Building retention through personalization. By understanding customers' preferences and needs through data analysis and engagement, businesses can tailor their communications and offerings, making them feel valued and understood, reducing churn or customer loss. Providing exceptional customer service is prompt and helpful support, fosters trust, and encourages repeat business. Proactive outreach based on usage patterns or potential issues demonstrates care and builds confidence. And our most important area, loyalty programs. Rewarding repeat customers or repeat purchases and engagement incentivizes continued patronage and creates a sense of belonging to an exclusive community. This has been done by fostering loyalty. Yeah, it's also a bun. Customer loyalty programs are meaningful engagement going beyond product-centric communication to providing valuable content, educational resources, or exclusive experiences makes customers feel invested in your brand beyond just transactions. It's great for community building. Creating online and offline communities where customers interact with each other and the brand strengthens emotional connections and loyalty. Their authentic brand storytelling is sharing and compelling stories about the brand's value, purpose, and people behind it creates a personal connection and fosters emotional buy-ins. So why do we encourage advocacy? Positive customer experiences by consistently exceeding expectations, brands create happy customers who are naturally inclined to recommend them to others. It empowers brand advocates, providing tools and incentives for customers to share their positive experiences like referral programs or social media engagement amplifies brand reach and credibility. But it also builds social proof. Showcasing positive customer testimonials, reviews, and social media engagement builds trust and encourages potential customers to become part of the community. But here are some additional benefits to relationship marketing. It provides increased customer lifetime value. Loyal customers spend more and you lose them less, lending to higher long-term profitability. It leads to reduced marketing costs. Retaining existing customers is cheaper than acquiring new ones, making relationship marketing a cost-effective strategy. And of course, it enhances your brand reputation. Positive word of mouth from loyal customers builds trust and attracts new businesses. Remember, relationship marketing is not about offering discounts or perks. It's about building genuine connections with customers. By focusing on creating positive experiences, providing value, and fostering emotional investments, businesses can cultivate loyal advocates who drive substantial growth and success for their future. Here's some strategies to consider. Personalization is excellent customer service, loyalty programs, and excellent offers. Consistent value delivery. Strategy 2. Building trust through consistent quality and transparency, exceeding customer expectations, creating emotional connections through storytelling, and value-driven marketing. Strategy 3. Empowering customers to share their experiences through user-generated content, creating exclusive communities for advocates, and recognizing and rewarding their contributions to your success. These are all great strategies, but there's one thing that we've left out. Loyalty programs come in all shapes and sizes, each catering to different customer preferences and businesses' goals. But here are the 10 most popular formats of customer loyalty programs. The number one, of course, is point-based. Earning points for purchases, interactions, and other activities, then redeeming them for discounts on merchandise and exclusive offers. Ooh, that was a tongue twister for me today. Tiered programs. Progress through different levels based on points earned and spending unlock new benefits like higher discounts, early access to sales, or personalized rewards. Examples of these are Amazon Prime and Marriott Bonvoy. Cashback rewards, probably the most popular today. Earn a percentage of your spending back as cash, which can be used for future purchases or deposited into your bank account. Popularized by credit cards like Chase Sapphire Preferred. Subscription loyalty programs. Pay a monthly or annual fee for access to exclusive benefits like free shipping, early access to products, and or discounted prices. Think Amazon Prime or Stitch Fix subscriptions. Gamification. Earn points, badges, and other rewards for completing challenges, participating in activities, or achieving goals. Gamification adds a fun and engagement element to loyalty programs. Examples are Nike Run Club, and Starbucks Gamified Challenges. Other ones could include, what's that game we all play on Facebook? Candy Crush. That's another, you know, gamification type program. Number 6, community-based. Build a community around your brand where members can connect, share experiences, and earn rewards for participation. This fosters a sense of belonging and loyalty. Examples of this are Sephora's Beauty Insider Community and Harley-Davidson Owners Group. Number seven, type seven, is coalition. Partner with other brands to offer a wide range of rewards and redemption options. Increases program value and attracts a broader customer base. Examples of this are Capital One Venture Rewards and unit tiers with exclusive benefits for a monthly or annual fee. Targets high-spending customers and generates recurring revenue. Examples of this are Marriott Bonvoy, Titanium Elite Status, Delta Sky Club Membership, and of course, American Express. Type number nine, lifestyle. Reward customers for activities beyond just purchases like healthy habits, travel, and charitable giving. This aligns with customers' values and promotes a positive brand image. Examples include Unified Mileage Plus program for donating miles to charities, AARP rewards for healthy living activities, and of course, a lot of other health insurance programs are getting into this habit as well, especially Blue Cross Blue Shield, and I have Aetna, so I know that it is participating in these type of programs. I get what they call Life Mart discounts by being a member of Aetna, and that gives me opportunities to participate in Fitbit programs, which I do, and it gives me access to very reasonable discounts from other partners as well. Number 10 is influencer and referral. I'm thinking about what to say here because this has become such a an influencer type of promotional loyalty program, which is becoming so popular amongst Gen Z because they're all influencers, air quotes. But remember, influencer referral programs encourage customers to refer friends and families to earn rewards. So in essence, even though they're influencers, they're getting something in return. I'm hoping that they truly do use the stuff that they promote through their channels. And me, myself, I do affiliate marketing, so I know that there is leverage behind it. But it leverages the power of word-of-mouth marketing. It expands customer reach. So when you think about what I do as a digital marketer, programs like SEMrush, Thinkific, two of my major affiliate brands that I promote, they're valuable to me because not only do I get to promote their brand because I trust them and use them, but it also benefits me in the long run. And you can do the same thing as a small business owner. When you have different programs that you work with, QuickBooks is another one. QuickBooks is a good thing. Most small businesses don't know that they have an affiliate program where you can get $200 a quarter just by announcing on your social media channels that you support them and you're behind their brand. So think about that when you're looking at strategies on, you know, I consider it affiliate income, and it's a little bit, it doesn't keep my doors open, doesn't close my doors either, but it helps me show people the brands that I trust. And I think you can do that as well. So, you know, think about that as a profitable way for you as a business owner. But in the long run, when you're looking at loyalty programs, remember that loyalty programs are based on businesses' specific goals, targeting their audience and industry. You want to experiment and track results and adapt your program to keep customers engaged and coming back for more. So just because you start a program one way doesn't mean you can't add to it down the road. You know, when I was in corporate America, and I talk about that often, you know, I spent 7 years working for a regional discount chain, dollar store and pharmacy chain. They were combined into one business. And I remember us developing our rewards program for our customers because we were rule-based and we were focused on competing with a certain target. And that target was your family dollar, and that was also your who's the other one? Dollar General. You know, we were focused on targeting those communities because they were moving in on that market. And then also on the pharmacy side, we wanted to compete against your CVS's and Walgreens that were still growing at the time. And, you know, as we looked into our program, and, you know, I hope some of my former coworkers are listening and they can, you know, relate to this, but what we learned from that experience was a growth strategy, a period of valued customer feedback that we didn't have before. And by doing that, you're going to get those touch points as well. And with us going into a First Data generation when it comes to the marketing industry, we have to find new ways to get data in order to improve our business. And that data is directly from our customers and our supporters and our advocates. You know, before you can turn somebody into a customer, you need to show them that you are valuable to them and that you're not, they're not just turning over a simple dollar to somebody that is trying to make a quick buck. We see all of these programs out there on social media today that are like, let's try the next fad. Don't jump on those bandwagons. Find something that's supportive, something that's valuable. You know, one business that I work with is it's one of my clients, and obviously I will support it till the end, is California Urban Life. California Urban Life was created to provide resources and more affordable ways to deliver healthy solutions to a better lifestyle. They're all about generating lifestyle changes through the empowerment of you know, environmental changes, environmental trust, and sustainability. They're valuable because if you're a person that cares not just about your health, but the future of our planet and the future of, you know, how our world is going to be in the next 100 years for the next generation, then you need to jump on them, because they show so much resourceful information around their seven main categories, which is health and beauty, lifestyle, food, and, you know, health and, I said health and beauty already, baby and children supplies, healthy cleaning, sustainable lifestyle for the household. I get tongue twisted whenever I talk about them because I love them so much. But my point is, we developed a program for them that was similar, because our biggest competitor, of course, is Thrive Market. But Thrive Market charges you monthly to get discounts. We don't do that because we're part of a co-op. And I say we because he is my partner. And, you know, as a relationship, they are my partner. So, you know, I say we because I benefit from them as well. Because he's a co-op, we see the discounts on the front end for the customer. And the customer is happy because not only do they get a more quality product in a better and a quicker way, but it's trusted instead of, you know, mass manufactured like some of these other products that are out there. You know, when we started looking at the brands that he wanted to carry and who he wanted to be a part of, he was doing very thorough research and understanding each of the techniques of that brand. And you have to do the same thing when it comes to loyalty. You have to understand what your customer wants, does, and needs. Without knowing that, you're going to be put 10 steps backwards, and you're going to be going, why am I not seeing anything in return? So get ahead of it, understand and personalize each touch point. So getting back to, you know, generating relationship marketing with loyalty programs, you know, you want to personalize every touch point. Leverage the data by analyzing customer purchase history, website behavior, and other data to tailor communications and recommendations and offers to individual customers' preferences. So you're telling them what they want to hear. You're not giving them a whole bunch of other stuff. You're delivering to them what they have been doing, and you're delivering that information based on their history, not some third-party guess of their history. You know, segmenting your audiences in your email campaigns is another great way of doing this. Group customers based on shared characteristics and tailor content, campaigns, and rewards accordingly. By doing that, you're not wasting that effort you put into sending that generated email blast. You're putting out their information that they want to read, and you know that they will read. And then go beyond names. Use dynamic content such as addresses of your customers based on name, reference their past purchases, and acknowledge their birthdays and milestones. You know, one of the things that we did when I was, going back to my corporate America loyalty experience, we always asked for the birthday, because not only was that their important day, but we also acknowledged the day that they signed up, because their anniversary date was important to us, because that gave us value to knowing when their fiscal year was turned over. So it was beneficial to us to have that information as well, besides their birthday. You know, not acknowledging birthdays and anniversaries and things like that in your rewards program is good, But other things that you can consider is, you know, when they've reached a certain activity count, you know, not just their spending, but think about what they've done. Are they responding to your social media posts? Are they, you know, commenting on your blogs? Are they listening to your podcast? You know, what other interactions are they making that's valuable to you? And that is a huge consideration in this day and age, because we have so many multi-channel outlets available to us that we must understand everything. And take it from me, as a digital marketer that looks at analytics every day in this business for multiple customers, there's a lot of information out there that a lot of people overlook. And unless you understand what you're looking at, you're really just shooting yourself in the foot. Let's just put it that way. You know, but going back to the topic of reference is loyalty programs. You know, offer valuable content beyond promotions. As I've just said, it goes beyond the dollar spends. Today's society is about relationship building and trust and authorities and creating educational resources like I said, blog posts, webinars, ebooks that address your customers' pain points and interests establishes yourself as a trusted resource. That's one of the reasons why I created this podcast, because I love talking about the things that I love, which is marketing, and that's where this comes from. So when you hear me talking off on a tangent like I've just done for the last, 8 minutes sometimes, it's because I know from experience that these things work and that these things are valuable. It's not just something any general marketer is going to tell you is something you need to think. If you want long-term relationships with your customers, you're going to curate and engage their experiences. You know, I love hosting exclusive events and online workshops, but it's hard to do that when you're so consumed with what you're doing every day. But I offer that to my clients because I see the value in that. So, you know, I always say, if you're selling something, make sure you do product demonstrations to foster a deeper connection. And it shows your brand affinity. It's great to understand that, you know, when you put it in front of somebody, not just on paper, but in a video, a snapshot, you know, YouTube short, something along those lines, you're going to benefit from that. Now, me, I'm not a person that likes to be in front of the camera. I'm still growing at that. And you're going to see more of that from me this year, because I'm finally starting to think that, you know, people need to see my face. They don't just need to hear my voice or read my blogs or see my caricature. You know, they need to see me too. I am a real person. I'm not an AI generated voice, you know. So going beyond just, you know, written recommendations is a great value to you as well. It provides personalized recommendations. You know, suggesting products, services, or other content based on individual preferences, it's just more than that when it comes to purchase history. But getting back on the topic, you know, there's other things that you need to think about when you're working with, you know, loyalty programs. It fosters two-way communication too. You know, when you're thinking about two-way communications, you want to be responsive. Promptly address customers' inquiries and feedback across all channels, email, social media, and chat. Don't just, you know, click that you've read it. Make sure you interact. Encourage interactions. Ask questions, invite feedback, and run polls on social media through and email surveys. You know, I do that often. I don't do that enough, and I probably should do more of that this year, and I will probably. But it lets your customers know that you want to hear their voice. You want to know what you're doing right and wrong. And you need the positive and negative feedback. So make sure you encourage that. Create open communications channels. Offer live chat options, which I have on my website as well. You know, what does it say? Provide dedicated customer support representatives. Now, whereas I am a, you know, a single marketing company with, you know, outside support channels, I don't have the customer support representatives, but I do have the access to them 24/7. So if you're communicating with me on my chat box on my website, bsmithmedia.com, you're always going to be interacting with me first, and then I will then reach out to my support team. My support team supports me first while I support you, the clients. So understand that. There are different ways of doing that. And you hear more and more small businesses taking on outside representation. If you can, try to avoid it. It has its positives and its negatives. And being as we're such a data-driven and privacy-driven society today, having outside resources to your business is not always a good thing. And so that's why I say be hesitant with third-party resources like that you do not interact with your direct self, okay? Build a community around your brand. Obviously, my community is the Digital Footprints 101. Through that, you've got your online courses, you've got your blog, you've got this National Marketer podcast, and you've got other forums that I interact with. Obviously, I partner with a radio station, Trim Radio Network, and that's where it also gives me a forum that I can utilize their chat and utilize their live streaming experiences that allow me to connect with different types of people. So it's great. So creating online forums and groups, it provides a space for customers to connect with each other, share experiences, and offer peer-to-peer support. Host social media contests and giveaways. Remember that you always need to include disclaimers when doing that. I always like to put disclaimers in things that I talk about because there are little nuances that not every small business owner knows about. So whenever you host a digital marketing contest or a social media contest or a giveaway, you need to make sure that you make them aware that it's not being sponsored like, say, Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook, what's another, Twitter, X, which is now formerly known as Twitter. But encourage that. It drives brand efficacy, and it's an interactive way to connect with your followers. Recognize and reward customer contributions. Highlighting loyal customers and on social media, featuring their stories and marketing materials, or even offer exclusive community bets is a great way. And you're going to see a lot of that from me this year, now that I finally finished all my case studies with people. You know, when I started this business 7 years ago, it was like, who am I going to really, you know, engage with? And it really came down to small business owners or single service partners, like real estate agents. And the reason I went that direction opposed to your medium-sized businesses is because I wanted to have the relationship with the owner direct. I didn't want to have to go through 10 people in order to get an answer on a program because I value that owner's experience, expertise, and knowledge of their business opposed to those 10 other people that work for them, because they may not know, for instance, what year the business opened or what year the business license was obtained, because let's say they came on down the road and they don't know because they didn't think to ask that question. But to me, those things are important because that's how I connect their programs, their software, their tools, you know, and obviously generate their, you know, biographical information. So you have to recognize highs and lows of your business. And case studies for me is very important. And you're going to see probably 4 case studies that have shown proven success for me. And I hope that helps you build more trust in my business as a marketer. And I continue to say this, go beyond transactions, focus on emotional connections, share your brand story, showcase your values, missions, and people behind the brand to build trust and emotional resonance. You know, that's one thing that California Urban Life and I did this year was we reestablished more of his vision, his mission for the business because, you know, he always knew what he wanted to do, but it wasn't being communicated that well. And that fell to me when the first year, because, you know, it was like we were still building that focus. And once we got down to that niche commitment of brands, we were then able to say, okay, now we've got it. Now we understand it. It took a few years, but you know what? It's been worth it. But now we need to start seeing the delivery of, you know, more sales to those customers. And by doing that, we're going to see more for, you know, the emotional connection to his brand. As I just said, support causes your customers care about. Partner with charities or initiatives that align with your brand values and your customers' interests. So again, going back to California Urban Life as a reference point, we don't necessarily do charitable donations, but we do partner with co-ops. Co-ops are important to his brand because we know co-ops are going to deliver a more quality product than your mass distributed other brands that you see out there. So that commitment to the co-op is his charitable contribution because it resonates with the farmers and the international growers that are important to his brand, the equal trade or fair trade commission that he's part of as well. Another thing that you need to think about when you're going beyond transactions is celebrating customer milestones, which we said, personalizing birthday messages, anniversary greetings, acknowledging person's anniversaries with special offers. Again, that's still a transactional type of example, but you're still saying, hey, you have done so much for me. I want to give back to you. Thank you for being a loyal customer. Thank you for being a loyal advocate for us. Please spread the word. Something along those lines is always going to make that customer or that advocate part of your brand. Your brand is not going to be without them. So understand that. And, you know, so those are the seven areas that you really need to focus on, or I'm sorry, five areas. I said seven, five areas that you should focus on when it comes to understanding customer loyalty programs in relationship marketing. Relationship marketing is a continuous process, not a one-time effort. As I said earlier, we started with one-tier program and we built on it for California Urban Life. By consistently delivering personalized value, fostering communication, building emotional connections, you're going to cultivate lasting relationship with your customers and turn them into a loyal advocate for your brand, which in turn is going to make them spend more money. It's going to make your brand stay around longer, and you're going to be able to continue that resource and that purpose for that connection to that brand. Before rewards programs became a standard for most retailers, I can remember back in the 90s when my dad was a huge participant of the Marble Man program. I'm not advocating for smokers. He's deceased now, not because of lung cancer. Other cancers is what he passed away from. Just a disclaimer there. But if you're familiar with the Marble Man campaign, you were subdued to smoking in your household. Because the Marble Man was for that smoker. The Marble Man was for that heterosexual, very manly man. I don't know how to explain it. The Harley drivers were smokers and they were the Marlboro Man supporters as well. But now Harley Davidson has their own campaigns. But the thing that was so unique about the Marlboro Man campaign was it wasn't a loyalty program in the traditional sense. It differed from typical loyalty programs in several ways because it didn't offer direct rewards. You had to collect these packaged, you know, like the box tops per se. You had to collect these little stickers on the sides of your Marlboro container or your Marlboro packets, and you had to submit them on like little mail-in rebates, and you would get Marlboro gear. Our entire camping set when I was a teenager was Marlboro Man themed everything. We had Marlboro Man tent. We had a Marlboro Man cantina. We had Marlboro Man plates and dishes, lanterns, anything you can think about for camping. It was in our camping set as a Marlboro Man. Okay. Love my dad to death. I hated his smoking, but you know, that's something that he dealt with over his life. Love him to death. Rest in peace. But the Marble Man was my first experience with loyalty programs. But you know, the Marble Man's not the first known campaign for loyalty. It goes way, 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 way back farther than that. It's about focusing on an image, not a behavior. It was about the campaign to influence brand perception and purchasing decisions. So they were heavily encouraging smoking their product, which is bad for us now, but back then in the, you know, 80s and 90s, it was like everybody was smoking. You saw it on TV, you saw it in the streets, you saw it in restaurants. Now you can't even walk into a restaurant without seeing a no smoking sign or a no vaping sign. And vaping's even worse than smoking, guys, so don't get on that bandwagon. I don't support that. But you know, it shows the characteristics of loyalty programs today that it's about building customer relationships. It's about creating strong emotional connection with smokers by portraying the Marlboro Man as a relatable and aspirational figure. He was this manly man, like I said. He fostered a sense of community and belonging among the Marlboro smokers. It encouraged brand loyalty, and it was all data-driven marketing because you had to mail in these stamps back to Philip Morris, the company behind Marlboro, of course. And it tracked the customer behavior and preferred preferences and informed the campaign messaging and targeting. It sent you so much junk mail after that, too. I can't remember seeing the mail coming in every day because I got home before him after school. And oh my God, the mail that would come in. Don't forget. They were so on top of that program. The Marble Man was probably, in my memory, one of the most successful brand campaigns outside of Nike that if smoking was still allowed or encouraged today, I would see it as a success. So remember, therefore, while traditional loyalty programs, the Marvel Me campaign did not employ some strategies and principles that we share in modern loyalty programs, it was primarily focused on brand image and emotional connections rather than offering direct rewards for customer engagement. Again, not focusing on spending. It is important to note that the Marlboro Man campaign is now widely criticized for its harmful effects, glamorizing smoking and contributing to negative health consequences. Its marketing tactics, while effective in building brand loyalty at this time, are no longer considered ethical and acceptable in today's environment. And I stress that because when you're looking at things like the alcohol companies, they must remember to require an age limitations, and smoking has age limitations. Even gambling that we're seeing a huge influx of commercials for, you still have to be 18 to do all these things. But it's being heavily promoted through all these different networks like social media, which is widely spent on by teenagers. So why are they allowed to use these channels? I question that as a marketer, and I will continue to question that. So remember that when you're thinking about it. But let's take a quick break. I'm going to go into some historical things because I think these are great things to consider and things that you should look at when you're looking at customer loyalty. So we'll be right back. And welcome back. So we've been on such a high energy episode this week. I'm loving this. So, you know, remember that when we're talking about loyalty and brand awareness and your relationship marketing and all these different things, it started somewhere. You know, why did I get into marketing? It is always asked, is a question that's asked of me. And I always say, because I've always wanted to be involved with the creation of something great. You know, I started out in communications and journalism because I wanted to be that voice. But marketing has become my voice. Marketing has become my creative outlet for doing things that I love and enjoy. Graphic design is where I started, as I've told you all before. But it has grown so much over the years. And my education and my knowledge base has grown so much because of the different people that I work with. And just like my education and my experience, customer loyalty began somewhere. So here's some fun facts. So it was hard to determine the first recognized rewards program in the U.S. because there are so many different types of programs that emerged and evolved over time. But did you know one of the longest strong contenders was the Green Shield Stamps program developed in 1894? So if you don't know what Green Shield Stamps were, it was widely considered a forerunner by modern loyalty programs because it was introduced in 1894 by Sperry and Hutchinson. Instead of cash discounts, customers received redeemable stamps with each purchase, which could be later exchanged for a variety of merchandise in a dedicated catalog. This marked a shift from immediate price reductions to a loyalty-based system with delayed gratification and broader reward options. Now, isn't that weird? So 1894, guys. So in 1894, they were thinking about customer loyalty long before we were. Another one that started before my time, because I'm only 44. I'm still a baby to some people. But airlines frequent flyers programs actually started in 1970s. While airlines credit cards with travel rewards existed earlier, the launch of American Airlines AA Advantage program in 1981 is often credited as the birth of modern frequent flyers programs. This system rewarded passengers with miles based on flight distance or ticket cost, redeemable for free flights, upgrades, and other travel packs or travel perks. It revitalized customer loyalty in the travel industry and sparked similar programs across airlines globally. Now, you know, it says that it started in 1981, but it says that it dates back to 1970. So I'm assuming that means that they established it. So I'm making note of that because I'm gonna reference back to it at a later date because I'm questioning that timeline. Another one that it's actually still alive today is Betty Crocker Box Top Program, established in 1929. Okay, if you don't know about the Box Top program for, you know, education, you are, like, not a parent, or you're not even involved in nonprofits, because this program, I remember collecting these in junior high so we could get computers for school, because that was when we were first getting computers in schools. That was when the first Mac was introduced in our schools. And oh my God, the Mac computer was the best thing in the world back then. Today, not so much. But back then, they were so cool because it was like the greatest thing in the world. Okay, and then American Online came about. In 1929, as I said, it offered recipe booklets and other household items in exchange for proof of purchase, the box tops from Betty Crocker products. This program stood out as its focus building on brand affinity and community through valuable resources rather than solely offering price discounts. Therefore, depending on whether you prioritize their earliest form of customer rewards, the Green Shield program, or the airlines frequent flyers programs, non-monetary rewards like the Betty Crocker Box Top program are all contenders for the first recognized loyalty programs in the United States. And like I said, Betty Crocker's Box Top program is still running today because now you collect the box tops so they can get computer equipment in their schools. So it still continues. Ultimately, the evolution of rewards programs has been driven by changing needs for both businesses and consumers. While Green Shield stamps may lay claim to the earliest form of reward, the success of programs like AA Advantage and the Betty Crocker Box Top program demonstrated the growing importance of fostering customer loyalty and engagement through strategic incentives and non-monetary benefits. So, going back, what did we talk about? We said it goes beyond the dollar amount. I love the idea of the Box Top program because you're giving back to your kids' future, your education. I love that program. I also want to recognize Starbucks because Starbucks has a like 20 million active members of the Starbucks Rewards programs. I am not a drinker of Starbucks because I don't drink overpriced coffee, not to mention I don't drink coffee. But the second one that's most important today is, of course, Amazon Prime. Who doesn't have Amazon Prime? Yeah, you're paying for, you know, free shipping for, like, ridiculous amounts of purchases, but it's worth it in the end because you get so much more. Like, did you know that you get game program, like, incentives if you're on Amazon Prime? So my husband plays video games, and I'm not a video gamer, but we just learned that you can get, like, free in-game content when you have Amazon Prime. Did not know that existed. So cool. So again, Amazon Prime is still delivering value even though you're paying the $300, $400 a year. You're getting so much in back in return because you got cheaper prices, number one. Unless you get screwed by a, you know, one of those third-party people on Amazon, which I don't recommend purchasing outside of Amazon Prime because you're going to get messed up somehow. So be careful. Anyway, sorry Amazon, I still love you. It all goes back to what we've talked about. We want to build a relationship with the people that are part of our brand. Our brand is not just about the people that work for it. Our brand is about the people that follow us. Our brand is about the people that trust the information. Our brand is about the people that buy from us. Our brand is about the people that support us. Our brand is about the people that spread the word about the great things that our brand has done. So our brand is built on interactions with relationships, not about how much spending is done. I wish some of the big corporate companies would understand that instead of the bottom line and thinking about the board directors. And that's why I chose small business, guys. Small businesses are what make America great. I am not going to go politics, but we need to make America great again. No pun intended. Okay. So while these all can be classified as well-known best loyalty programs, depending on where you come from, Amazon Prime, Starbucks, Betty Crocker Box Tops, you know, California Urban Light Perks, Kroger Rewards, whatever. I don't, there's so many of them out there you can't keep track. Everybody's always asking for them now. So however these programs mentioned are consistently ranked high, you must know what your customers want and need from you. The question now is, where do you stand on customer loyalty programs? Would you consider it for your brand? Bottom line, guys, as a brand, it's critical to keep a loyal audience consumer. So starting a loyalty program is a great way to gather first-party data and keep your audience engaged with rewards, encouraging further shopping, connection, emotional content, Make your shoppers, followers, supporters, and employees a guaranteed ambassador by rewarding them for their loyalty to you. Start planning now with my loyalty program guide book available in my Digital Footprints 101 blog, guys. Thank you so much for being part of this episode. I know I got off on a few tangents, but it's only because I love what I do, and I believe this information is valuable to you, and I hope you believe the same. So this episode is over, but I thank you for being here. And just remember, next episode is in 2 weeks, but in between, you'll have my Reflections of a Digital Marketer, which is a monthly episode by me that kind of reflects on what's happened in this month to keep you abreast of the things that are happening with the digital marketing world. There are so many legislative actions taking place in Congress right now that affect small businesses and how small businesses can market. So I have created the Reflections of a Digital Marketer episode as an important outlet for you to stay afloat of what's going on there. So follow me, naturalmarketerpodcast.com, vsmithmedia.com, on social media, @realvsmithmedia on Twitter, and vsmithmedia on all the other channels. Thank you so much for being here, and I look forward to the next episode, guys. Bye-bye now.